I had a wonderful time at that minister's meeting this week. Met some new friends. Got acquainted with a lot of the social services of this area. The heads of many things that are going on in the state and in our county. And made friends with a lot of people that I knew they existed, but I never really knew some of the things they were doing until we met for about 2.5 hours and just had a lot of communication. Made friends with some folks. Don't be surprised if you see me hanging around with a Catholic priest or a Jewish rabbi. Don't be surprised if you hear about me singing and preaching in some of the local churches in the area that are not necessarily of our persuasion. And don't be surprised if some of them show up here with good testimonies and songs. We are seeing some things come together that we've dreamed of and thought of for years, but couldn't make it happen. But God has a way of doing things. And our voices are being heard. And the message we have is being considered. Amen. It's being considered. It's something about getting together with a bunch of people who don't agree about a lot of things, but not being concerned about that. Just being concerned about we need to pray. We need to seek after God. We need to find direction. We need to see what God would have us to do that would be best for our families, for our community, for our country. Amen. And I just thank God for an opportunity to be alive in this day when that can happen. Amen. You know, we don't have to be fighters in order to serve God. We don't have to be debaters. We don't have to be people that put each other down who don't see eye to eye. In fact, I think Jesus probably got along with people pretty good, if they would let him. Amen. He didn't go out into the multitude and say, "You're not fit for my friendliness." But he healed them all. He fed them all. He blessed them all. He made a way for them all. And I thank God. Thank God for this church. Thank God for the internet ministry. Many wonderful things are happening. I was telling Brother Bradley before church, I don't understand it. I can preach my head off for several weeks, and then somebody like Brother Mike gets up and preaches and gets all the compliments. And everybody starts saying, "Oh, what a blessing he was." I had one brother on the Facebook wrote that 8 people were blessed listening to your message the other night, and said we were all listening, and he said I changed some direction the next day. And you know, God has a way of just knowing who to use and how to use them to bless people, and we thank God for that. And it's all right with me. I'm not out for praise. I just say those things to get a laugh. It's all right with me. I still don't understand it though. You like me anyway, huh? All right. I want to talk about body language. I hope I can get the thought across that I have in my mind. If I can't, we'll just stop somewhere midway and go home. But I'm going to go to the book of Romans, the 12th chapter. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, our ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Ye may be seated. Body language. Amen. We talk about God manifest in the flesh. Amen. And that's very true, that God was manifested in the flesh. As Jesus walked the sandy shores of Galilee, healing people and doing all types of good things, performing miracles, it was God manifest in the flesh. When he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up again. It was not some kind of double talk, and it's not all that mysterious if you understand how God has put us together. In the beginning, when God created man, God breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In becoming a living soul, every human being on the face of the earth has a body that is manifesting something greater than the body that is seen. There is the you that people look upon, and there's the you that's being manifested by the spirit that you are, or the soul that you are, that shall live forever. If I could say it like this, whatever you're manifesting is what you're really all about. And your body that we're to keep under subjection, which is our reasonable service, our bodies that people look upon, our mannerisms, our things that we do, things we say, perhaps things that we wear, places where we go. There are reasons why the Word teaches us to love not the world or the things of the world, and to actually forsake the ways of the world and follow after Jesus. Don't put our love and money or the things that the world can promise that perhaps may not be able to live up to, but put your trust in God. There are reasons why all that's in the Word of God. When God looks upon His people, He's not looking so much upon this frame. We're all headed for the cemetery. These old bodies are going to get more feeble as time goes on, wrinkle up, and fizzle out. We're just going away. But while we're here, there is a body that is the real you, that never grows old and never dies. It's always going to live somewhere. Amen. The real you will never have a hair to turn gray. The real you will never taste of death. Amen. You are who you are, but you may not really know much about how you're put together, because we look upon these things that we can see. You look at your hands as they're starting to wrinkle up a little bit, and in my case, my fingers are getting more and more crooked as time goes on, so I just play anyhow. I play the piano anyway. And I shouldn't be able to. I've been told by people, you can't play that because your fingers are all messed up. And, you know, you've had too many broken bones. But, hey, they tell us bumblebees can't fly. They're too big. Bumblebee does it anyway. He doesn't seem to know it. Amen. I've also been told by several it's time for me to start thinking of retiring and slow down. Well, I hadn't even got to going as fast as I planned to go yet. You know, there may come a time when age and circumstances may slow me down, but until that time comes, I'm still looking for more speed. I'm not talking about drugs now. I'm talking about something else. I'm looking for something to keep me going beyond drugs. Amen. When they were looking at Jesus, they didn't see really who he was. Some kept saying, "Show us the Father." And he kept saying to them things like, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." They didn't realize the significance of what he was saying. Now, I can't say, "When you've seen me, you've seen my Father," because my Father was a man. But Jesus could say that because he was the Word of God, who was in the beginning with God and was God and came from God. And when the Spirit of God overshadowed the Virgin Mary and brought forth a son, the son had a father who was not a human being. And the spirit of that father was in the son, and the son was in the spirit of his father. And he was able to say, "I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me." Talking about my daddy, I can't say that. I can't say I'm in my daddy, and my daddy's in me. But since I got a hold of the same spirit that was in Christ, I can talk about my heavenly Father and say, "I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me." And you can say, "I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me." Because we have been brought into an awareness that when we gave our hearts and our lives to Jesus, that a new you, a new creature was brought forth. Hallelujah. Old things at that time passed away. We're not waiting till we get to heaven for old things to pass away. You become a new creature when you're born again of the water and the Spirit. And then you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Although we still go about this life in this body, in this frame. But things are changed now. You might say that pushes us forward, our fuel, that drives us, that keeps us going, is coming from a different source. Amen. The strength that we're getting as we go forward is not coming from the world anymore. It's not coming from the ideas of humanity or because of the fact that we're able to have a career or make a lot of money or do a lot of things or get a good education. All these things are good and they're not to be looked down upon, but there's something greater than all other things combined. And that's a new creature existence in Christ Jesus. When you come out of the world and you become separated from the world, yet you remain in the world but not of the world, there is a body language involved, and you can tell it when somebody has truly been born again of the water and the Spirit, and you can tell it if you're in the Spirit when they may be putting on an act or they may be not quite what they should be, simply by the things they either do or don't do. The ways they act, the things they say, how they think, what they wear, what they put on, places where they go, what they're interested in. There are people, many of my friends, who try to make rules for others to live by concerning clothes and hair and so forth and makeup. I'm not into talking about all that tonight, but there is some truth in this. If we pattern after the ways of the world and the fashions of the world and the fads of the world, we will find ourselves running after the ways of the world. But the body language of a child of God is looking for ways to separate from the world. And you can tell when somebody really gets a hold of this thing. All they have to have is a hint, if you're a lady. Leave the scissors out of your hair. No problem. Hallelujah. But for those who cannot turn loose of the old way, that don't quite make it, you might say they're stillborn. They almost made it into the kingdom. But God won't accept anything that's not able to go all the way with Him. And so there are some who stop short of the real blessing. It's not about hair. It's not about clothes. It's about obedience and submission. Hallelujah. The whole scripture about hair is about submission. It's not about hair. It's about submission. And it's about an outward sign of an inward experience. Hallelujah. The reason a lady should not cut her hair is because it's there for glory. Glory about what? Glory about the fact that there's some submission going on. There is some obedience to God and an order of God that it doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter what they do or what they say. I found something greater than the beauty parlor here. I'm not here to talk about hair, but I'm telling you, there are some people right now on the internet listening to me. I'm not saying this in the spirit of discernment. I'm saying it in the gift of knowledge. They're listening to me right now and said, oh, no, he's not one of those fanatics that's against women cutting hair. No, look, that's not what this is about. I'm here to say to you that if you're a woman and you read in the Word of God that it's a shame, or it's not good, or maybe it shouldn't be, even if it happened 2,000 years ago and it was for them, you're going to keep the scissors out of your hair because you've been born again. And your head's going to show up because your hair is going to start growing. Even people who do those things, when they start really praying and getting close to God, I notice a lot of times they say, you know what, I think I'm going to grow my hair. Now, this is not a hair close sermon, but I'm not beyond preaching one, and I'm glad to talk about it and answer your questions. But you know what, when you get really born again, you're not really interested in the picture show either. Movies, theaters, television. Oh, he's really going off the deep end now. He's getting like those old radicals over there. No, look, there's something in the kingdom of God that causes organizations like the UPC to come up with all kinds of things and guidelines for Pentecostal people. Why? Because a lot of folks in those organizations have been born again. And God has put something in their hearts that says, I don't want to wear that kind of stuff anymore. I don't want to put that stuff on my face anymore. I don't want to wear those things on my ears anymore. I don't want to cut my hair. Or if you're a man, I need a haircut, which I do need one. I'm talking about body language tonight. The reason Brother John's in this church tonight is because somebody had body language who walked into a convenience store and he was standing behind the counter saying, that's a Pentecostal. Hallelujah. It's just a door that's going in there looking like a world, looking like some church people who also look like the streetwalkers because they're so determined to have it their way. And not consider any other way that may be God's way. There's some people you cannot talk to about these things. In fact, there's some turning me off right now who don't want to hear the rest of what I got to say because they don't agree. It doesn't matter whether you agree or not. What does matter is that part of you that's caused you not to want to agree or not to want to listen. It's not of God. It's the spirit of this world that wants to fight and argue and gossip and backbite. My email is filled with Christian people who are so at wit's end, not knowing what to do, saying, pray, Brother Rutledge, pray. We just don't know what to do. We're thinking of giving up. And the same people, if I say, you know what? You should start really looking like a Christian and dressing like a Christian and separating yourself from the world, they would turn against me and be my enemy. But the answer is all in what spirit are you of? Are you of God? And if so, there's no need that I preach about these things or anybody else, because God puts it in your heart. Hey, you get in front of the mirror. A man can be standing there, and look, I can cause some debates right now, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Be standing there with a nice mustache on your face, and all of a sudden you look at that thing and say, you know what, that's got to go. Brother Rudd, you against mustaches? I ain't against nothing. I'm just for God. Some of the best friends I got have mustaches. I'm not saying I'm against mustaches, but if God puts it in your heart that you're looking too much like the world, and you start saying to your in your heart, but I'm not going to change. I ain't going to shave it. I ain't taking it off. Then you're getting in trouble with God and not with Brother Rutledge. I said something like this in Louisiana. It almost caused a church split one night. And there was a man stood up and he said, I will never shave my mustache. I wasn't trying to get anybody to shave. I was trying to make a point that when you're a child of God, things start happening. You're not the person you used to be. You're a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you get around devil-possessed people that say, I like the way you look, you better go in your prayer closet and see what's wrong. Because when you start getting close to God, boys with long hair, when they start to cut it, their wives and their girlfriends say, no, I like it like it is. The closest ones to you will try to keep you as you were before God started molding you into His likeness, into His image as to what He wants you to conform to. God's body language is not something that the world can comprehend. And when we try to hang on to the world, we cannot manifest who we really are as the people of God. I like to be able to walk down the street and see somebody that's living for God. And not just because of what they wear, but there's something just radiates from a child of God that says that person's not of this world. And you can just know it when you're around them because they're not of this world, although they're in this world. Now, I'm not here talking about standards tonight. I'm just talking about body language. Some of my best friends, ladies cut their hair. Men have long hair, mustaches and beards. Chew tobacco and drink beer. They're good friends. I'm not down on anybody tonight, but I'm just going to tell you there is a higher level of living than the ordinary way of life that we've all lived. When we said, I want to live for God, we were also saying, I'm ready to step out of the way I've been and be what you want me to be. Hallelujah. And the issue should never be, what do you believe her? What do you believe her? So what do you teach on this subject? Or how does your church see it? There should be no issue. There should only be obedience and submission to God. Because when we submit our ways to God, then He takes your body, which is the same one you were looking at when you were a sinner, and He puts your body, which is the new creature, in charge of you. And so, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So it's your flesh that kicks up and says, but I don't want them to look at me. I don't want people to make fun of me. I don't want people, if I go to this party and I don't take a little bit of that drink, they're going to all laugh at me, think I've gone off. That's your flesh acting up. But that other part of you, that's the real you, is saying, it's not important what they think. The only thing that's important about any situation is pleasing God and living for God. And when you go into a place and come out of it, you're not any different than you were when you went into it. And your old body just had to obey your spirit, which is of God and not of this world anymore. There was a time when you did whatever you felt like doing. You went anywhere you wanted to go. You were able to just decide, I want to do this, I want to do that. And you got yourself in a mess, didn't you? Dope, cigarettes, alcohol, women or men, and all kinds of craziness. And then God spoke to your heart and said, you want to be new? You want to be changed? Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I want to tell you something. You can't get any rest if you're struggling to get back to the way it was. You're going to have to turn loose of that in order to enjoy this body language that wants to say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, when somebody's preaching like I'm preaching. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Look, if you're going to be Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, apostolic, amen, then you might as well go ahead and dress the part. Because you're already thought of as devils. You're already thought of as wackos in this world. We don't have a clothesline standard here. Yet we have people who walk in and say, ooh, I could never change to be like you all. We've never asked anybody to change to be like anybody else. But we have noticed that when God starts dealing with individuals, they start changing. And some take it, you know, a little slower than others. Some immediately change. Others try to change, and it's a struggle as time goes on. They're up and they're down, but they finally get there sooner or later. But the best way is just go ahead and just give up and let Jesus take over. Hallelujah. Let Jesus take over. Because if you're still going through the struggle when you get to be 80 years old, you're not going to enjoy living for God as much as you could have if you'd have grabbed a hold of this thing when you were in your 20s or 30s or 40s. God's not looking for a bunch of people that He can save and then have them struggle and trying to figure out what to do with themselves until they die. He wants somebody to go out and do some things for Him. He wants somebody to have some energy in the old body while the new body is telling what the old body needs to do. While the new creature is saying, you're in charge, I'm in charge now, and you're submissive to God, which your new spirit is submissive to God. Because when He came into your life, He did the same thing to you that He did to the people who He breathed upon, and to the dust on the ground that He breathed life into. Praise God. We have become living souls. Now, when Adam sinned, as far as God was concerned, he was dead. The living soul that Adam was when God breathed the breath of life into him was one that should still be alive today had he not given in to the influence of something that was not of God. Adam would still be alive and well on this planet Earth today. And he would still not be old had he not sinned. But God is not here to deal with Adam tonight. He's here to deal with you and say to you, you don't have to make the same mistake that Adam made. Now that God has taken you and He has taken your dust and He has breathed the breath of life into you and brought you forth. Now you're walking in the garden with God. Hearing His voice, listening to His command, loving Him. Now He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me, I am His own. And the same old devil that was there with Eve, that was there with Adam and Eve, is here with you. Saying, there's nothing wrong with this. God says that would be wrong for you to do. Is that preacher up there claiming to be of God, and he's preaching against this stuff? You like? There's another church. You don't have to go to this one. You don't have to tune in. There are plenty of internet ministries. There are people that will say it like you want to hear it. And they'll even smoke while they talk to you and drink too. They'll take you to the party and booze it up with you and then praise God with you. There are some places where you can go and they'll speak in tongues while they smoke the cigarettes and drink the beer for you. But is it of God? Is it God? For every good thing God has is a counterfeit that's almost as good it seems. It looks like it's good, it feels good, it seems good. If whatever you're doing is feeling good, looking good, and sounding good, you're probably not of God. Because God operates beyond your feelings, beyond your senses. Amen. There are ears that are ears to hear, and then there are ears that you have that sometimes hear it wrong. But the ears that can hear are in the new creature, and it's manifested when you're hearing the Word of God. There are some changes that go on. You change the way you were doing. You change the way you were talking. You change the attitude that was not right. You change the whole way that you have been that was like you had been in the past before you came to God. Now your body language is saying, hey, glory to God. I feel like just praising the Lord. Woo! You know, all you got to do is look at somebody sometime and just watch them go, and you know something's happened. It's body language saying, something's touching me right now. Hallelujah. Sometimes the old hand just flies up and you didn't raise it. Sometimes tears come down your face and you didn't mean to cry. But you're so happy. Sometimes you laugh and you don't even know what you're laughing at. Sometimes you just feel like jumping up and down. What is this? You're jumping the old body up and down because something in you is still young and fresh and strong. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Why? Because you are. You are strong. The real you is able to leap high. The real you is able to run a long ways. The real you is able to do all kinds of exploits today. There is nothing to stop you. And you are who you are in God. And to let this weak, beggarly flesh stop the real body that you really are. It's so foolish. Oh, I can't go to church because I got a headache. Well, rebuke it. You got authority over that old head. Because you got a new head now. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus didn't say, I'm not going to the cross today because I don't feel like it. Now, I don't think he felt like it. But he went. Thank you, Jesus. A lot of people went to that upper room that probably didn't feel like it. People looking at them, staring at them, said, ha, you're one of them? Look, when you come to the church at Norwich, when you come into these doors, if you're ashamed to be seen by the people on the street, your spirit needs some help. You need some adjustment. Hallelujah. I don't think we have anybody in that position, but if you do have a problem with people knowing that you're one of us, you probably just need to come up here tonight and pray through. Because if you're not one of us, you're one of them. And they're going to take you right down a path that'll end up in hell. Look, there are people walking by these doors every day so close to heaven, they don't have any idea, they don't have a clue that all they got to do is turn and just walk into these doors on a Tuesday or Thursday or Sunday and be born again. Hallelujah. And start having some hope. Oh, yeah. And start seeing some future. And start gaining some strength and realizing there is a reason to keep on going. Because there's nothing in this world worth living for. There is nothing in this world worth living for. No wonder people are blowing their brains out and get all upset. A man today walked into a hospital, killed his own mother, and killed her doctor, shot himself. Why? Because he wasn't born again. That's why. And you might end up doing the same thing if you get upset without this Christ in you, the hope of glory, guiding your footsteps. But when He's in your life, the whole
the whole earth around you could start falling apart. You can lose everything you've got, but you still got Jesus. You can feel like your life has no meaning, has no direction, but it does. And down deep you know, no matter how it seems, no matter what I've lost, no matter how sick I am, no matter how down I feel, I've got Jesus in my life. And the body language shows up when you show up at church and all the chips are down. And all things that could go wrong have gone wrong. But you're here anyhow with a testimony and a song. And you're saying, hallelujah! At the sound of the Word of God. We don't just go to church to get relief. We go to church because we have found relief. Let's praise Him, everybody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Destroy this temple, Jesus said. 3 days, I will raise it up. And it was Jesus that raised it up. Because the Spirit that was in Him was the Spirit that departed from Him on the cross, but came back to Him in the tomb. And it was the same Spirit that was being manifested when He walked on the water. It was the same Spirit that was being manifested when He healed the sick, raised the dead. Same Spirit. You couldn't see the Spirit, but you could see the manifestation. You could see the demonstration of that which you could look upon and wonder, how could a man do such things? Nobody talks like this man. Nobody can do what this man can do. Never spake a man like this man. Never walked a man like this man. He said to the sick of a palsy, your sins are forgiven. Oh, he's blaspheming, some of them said. Man cannot forgive sin. There was more than a man standing there in that room. That was God saying, your sins are forgiven. But what they saw was a man. But they didn't see the Spirit that He was. Just as they don't see the Spirit that you are unless you're manifesting it. Hallelujah. So if your manifestation is to get mad and to gripe and to be an old grouch and not get along with people and look for ways to cheat others, that's who you are. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But if your heart has been changed into a new heart and you have put on the mind of Christ, you're not what you were anymore. And as you thinketh in that heart, so you are. A child of God. A child of the King. You're one who's able to manifest the glory of God in any way that you can manifest the glory, whether it be upon your head or upon your clothes or upon any kind of apparel that you might choose to have. There's sometimes you're going to make a choice. I don't want that and I don't like this, but I'm going to take this that I don't like because that doesn't look right for a child of God. And you discard something that might be nice and beautiful for somebody else, but you might think I look like I'm wearing an old toe sack. But it sure feels good to surrender to the will of God. I'm talking about body language. There's more to this talk about standards and clothes and holiness than just somebody's idea you shouldn't wear certain things. Look, nobody has to tell you that if you get born again. If you get born again in the water of the Spirit, you automatically get dressed by the Holy Spirit that's in you. You yield to God. And you make choices. You don't have to have anybody making the rules for you. It's in the book. Don't let your adorning be the putting on of apparel or gold or any of these things. Don't let it be any of that. In other words, what it's saying is, let that which people look upon that cause them to notice what you're all about be something that's coming from the inward being that you are. Something that's coming from a spirit that's being manifested in what you do what you say and what you wear, causing people to say, I wonder what makes that person be like that. Oh, look, if somebody comes up to you and says, what, are you a Pentecostal dressed like you're dressed? You ought to just lift your hands right then and start speaking in tongues. Because if somebody can notice what you are because of what you're wearing, that means you're doing it right. It's body language. It's the body of Christ in you. And it's the body of the church that you're a part of. There's many of us in this church. We all have our different likes and dislikes. But if you want to get God in your life, you're going to have to separate from the world. It's called sanctification. Sanctify yourself. Be you holy, for He is holy. And He wants you to do your reasonable service. Present your body unto Him. Holy. Unblameable. Spotless. Pure and clean. Because that's the kind of church He's going to present to Himself. A spotless church. Without a blemish. Praise Him again. Hallelujah. 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 I got a hold of something bigger than I can preach tonight. But it's there. It's there. Amen. Some people look upon, they pay too much attention to what people wear, what they cut or don't cut, where they go or don't go, and they don't really have any business meddling in their business, because this needs to be something where you know who you're serving and they're not your master. So if somebody else comes up with a finger pointed in your face saying, you know, you shouldn't be doing what you're doing, even if that spirit gets on you and you see somebody in the church that doesn't live up to your standards and you feel like going over and giving them a piece of your mind about how they are, then you need to hold yourself. Hold yourself back. Thank you. At least they changed it from an old rough man sound. I think I had a nice lady saying it's updated over there. Hold yourself back. Because each one of us has one master, and His name is Jesus. And nobody else in the church is master over anybody else. And they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. So we don't know what God sees as we look upon the outward manifestation of an inward working of what God is doing. We don't know the struggles that people are going through. That's why we're instructed not to judge people. Don't judge. If God wants us to judge, He will be there to do the judging through us. But don't go around thinking it's God unless you know it's God. And if you don't know for sure, it's probably not God. So just leave your two bits out of it. We got a good church. We do that here. Anybody can come here dressed any way you want to dress. Do anything you want to do. You can come in here drunk and be loved, be cared for. You can come in here in all kinds of messed up life conditions. Nobody's going to think down toward you. We're not going to look upon you like we're better than you, and nobody's going to bother you. But what you have here is an opportunity to do something what many people through the centuries have wanted, and that is discover the fountain of life. To find out how to be young again. The fountain of youth. Where the old creature that's about to drag yourself to death because of the wages of sin and how bad it's been out there can come and lay yourself down at the feet of Jesus. And God will make a new baby out of you. And raise you up. Cause you to be a child. We're instructed to become as a child. If we don't become as a child, we cannot enter into the kingdom. And that's what we become when we are born anew of the Spirit of God. We have become a child of God. Children who are freshly born don't know a lot. And they say things sometimes that turn out later, they said it wrong. They use words that may not be appropriate. And they do things that causes them to fall. They make bad choices. And they can't hold on sometimes. But we who've been around a while, having to fight off some of these bad spirits and getting some experience and strength in warfare, spiritual warfare, where we've been able to say no to the devil and yes to God, we're standing here to encourage them and to help them. And rather than push them down just because they mess up, we lift them up since they messed up to let them know, we've been there, we know what you're going through, and God's going to see us through. Try again. Try again. Get up again. It ain't over till it's over. I ain't going to say to the fat lady sings because somebody might start singing around here and may not be skinny. It ain't over till it's over. No, we don't have any fat ladies, and you never know who's going to walk in. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, let the guilty speak. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. Hallelujah. And yet, if we don't present our bodies holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, the part of us that will live forever will not live in heaven forever. Because that body he's talking about to present holy and acceptable is your human body. Because the spirit that he gave you is already holy and acceptable. It always is. It never becomes sinful. It never gets corrupted. It's either there or it's not. And when it's there, it should be in charge. And you yield to the Spirit that is of God. That's you, now that you've been born again. With your renewed mind, the thinking process goes on. God uses the brain that the devil used to talk to you now. And you listen to God, and you don't listen to the world anymore. You got the same ears that you listen to the world with now, but now you're listening to the gospel and you're hearing things differently. Amen. In the world, there were things that would come through your ears and get into your spirit because your spirit was not of God. It would cause you want to dance to the music and go to those places and do those things and drink this and shoot up this and smoke this and that. And it would get a hold of you, sometimes just in the beat of the music. It would just get a hold of you because your spirit was not of God. Your spirit is going to live on and on. Your soul is born to live forever. But your soul is also born to serve the Lord. And when you were in the world, yielding to the ways of the world, you were on your way to a devil's hell that's not prepared for people. It's prepared for devils. But if you choose to follow the devil, God will allow you, even though he wants you to live with him forever, to be separated from him forever. Because he's going to have a holy people. He's going to have a holy people without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. These are people who are in his church. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He was talking about the rock of the revelation of who God is and what God can do and what God is all about and what the Spirit of Christ in you can do. Hallelujah. When he gives you the Holy Ghost, he has given you an unspotted, unblemished spirit that he can present unto himself. Now, he wants you to keep your body under subjection. And if you want to wear something that's worldly, you better think about that before you get down on your knees or as you get down on your knees and say, Lord, is there anything I can change? Is there anything I can do? And I want to tell you, when you get through totally surrendering your life to God, everybody's going to look like an old-time apostolic. Otherwise, you're going to have to fight some devils and just see who wins. If you want to feast on Hollywood, the entertainment, or the carnal, mean-spirited ways of some of the games that are presented that kids play, or games on the internet, I'm not against games. I play games. I like pinball, baseball, Pac-Man. hide and go seek, kick the can. I can play games. Nothing wrong with playing games. But watch what you're taking into your spirit. As you're hearing those words, do you notice it when they're saying those ungodly, filthy words on television? Do you notice? Do you hear it? And does your spirit that you have say, it's okay, you can handle it? You better watch that spirit. What you feast on is what you become. Hallelujah. Watch that spirit. Amen. If somebody has to tell you to turn off the TV, and it wasn't the Spirit of God that prompted you to do it in your obedience to God, you'll turn it back on again. If somebody has to tell you to leave that R-rated movie out of your house, and you feel like it's okay anyhow, and you do it anyhow, but you hide it when they come to visit you, you're not living for God. You're not keeping your body under subjection. You're still of this world. You're not holy at all. Because holy people don't do those things. That's why they call it holiness. When people try to straighten up and change. But we're living in a day when somebody tries to please God. The crowd out there that's calling themselves Pentecostal saying, that's the way the old timers used to do it. They're not moving forward with the times. Hey, I ain't ever going to move forward with the times. The times did not save me. And the times won't save you. I don't care if you're on the moon in the year 2500. It's still holiness or hell. Let us stand up. And you better watch who you're listening to and where you're going in that bubble up there. And don't go around naked. When the man in the tombs, I was speaking to Brother Bradley before church a little bit tonight about the man in the tombs. When God got the devil out of him, he said he was clothed and in his right mind. Before that, he was naked. When Peter saw his wretched condition after he had denied Jesus, and he found himself out there in the sea, and he was going back to his old ways, one of the things that was manifesting how he had become again was the fact that he didn't want to wear his clothes. You can see that spirit manifested all over Norwich or anywhere you want to go all summer long. Go down to the beach, and some people can't settle for the beach. They form nudist colonies. Why? Because there's something in this old worldly spirit that wants you to take your clothes off. But as you start getting close to God, you start putting your clothes on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You didn't know I was a clothesline preacher, did you? I'm not representing the UPC here. I'm representing the kingdom of God here. And I'm telling you something now. We better start being holy as He is holy and presenting our bodies holy and acceptable unto Him, or we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price and you're expected to do certain things. God bought you. He owned you. He put His Spirit in you. And now He wants you to line up. Let us praise Him, everybody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You don't make decisions with your old brain. You make decisions with His mind. You keep in mind what would be best. The world says, what would Jesus do in a situation like I'm going through? First thing He would do would be obedient in every way. Are you? What will you do when you're faced with a choice? To go into the pathway of sin or into the righteousness of God. It's not about what would Jesus do. What will you do with Jesus in you? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, you know, preachers can preach like this, talk about these things. And there's always an old spirit out there saying, well, look at you. I don't see you doing some things. So that goes back to comparing yourselves among yourselves. And I'm not saying that spirit here tonight, but I'm talking to thousands of people right now. And some of them are going to churches
that will teach them this coming Sunday that you don't have to listen to this kind of preaching. And you don't have to line up to anything, because God knows your heart. And it's simply a thing of Him looking on your heart. But see, they're not listening to themselves. They're not comprehending what it is they're trying to say, or what God said concerning the heart. He looks upon the heart, not so you can say, I accept Him into my heart. No, He looks upon the heart, which is the real you that's surrendered to God. And the heart that's given to God causes you to look at your hands, and your hands look new. Praise God, because those old feeble hands that might be there, they may still be shaky, they may be wrinkled, but there's something else there that you can see that your hands can still do. You look at your feet, and they did too. You may have crooked toes, and you may have shoes that hurt, but hallelujah, they can still walk, and you got some places to go for Jesus. You might look in the mirror and see an old wrinkled up face and some eyes that are a little bloodshot from some things you've been through and some hard knocks you've been through. But something beyond that is looking very beautiful. The fact that you are who you are and what you are in the kingdom of God, surrendered to God, makes it all worthwhile, so you can still give thanks to the Lord. It's the will of God concerning you that you come to this point through all your troubles, through all your trials, victorious, saying, I'm still a child of God. I'm still a child of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm not here preaching standards tonight. I'm preaching holiness tonight. And the Bible says that there's something beautiful about holiness. Amen. Serving God in the beauty of holiness is a lot better than trying to serve God with somebody's standard or what they think you need to line up to. The beauty of holiness is a surrendered life. Saying, Lord, make me holy, and I want to be what you want me to be. Do what you want me to do. But no argument, no debate, and it's no problem to change, because you're sick of the world and you sure don't want that again. Kick the devil out, embrace Jesus, and let the church roll on with your body language.
Gracious. mighty God, you're so good to us. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your many blessings. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you.